The Kansas Board of Education was in the news not long ago when it decided to leave evolution out of its required curriculum. The decision revived a controversy that's been a part of American life since the 1920s. But our linguist Jeff Nunberg has noticed that the language of the controversy has changed over the course of the century.
Listening to the debates over the teaching of evolution in Kansas recently, I kept thinking how much less confusing it was in the old days, when the fundamentalist and the modern spoke different languages. It's a moment that's preserved for us in the play Inherit the Wind and the three movies that have been made from it. The play was based on the Scopes trial of 1925, when Clarence Darrow and William Jennings Bryan faced off in a test of the Tennessee state law that forbade the teaching of evolution. The climactic moment comes when the character based on Darrow cross-examines the character based on Bryan in his capacity as an expert on the Bible. At one point, he asks about the geological evidence for the age of the earth, and the Bryan character answers dismissively, "I am more interested in the Rock of Ages than I am in the ages of rocks." End of discussion. I expect that Darrow would have gotten a very different answer from the modern opponents of evolution who call themselves creation scientists. They've abandoned a lot of the strict literalism of their forebears. They grant that the earth is billions of years old, they reject the idea of a universal flood, and they allow that evolution can lead to changes within a species. But they insist that only God can produce new species and deny that people can trace their family trees back to anything with a tail. And unlike the old-fashioned fundamentalist, they're quite comfortable talking about scientific issues like gaps in the fossil record or the theory of punctuated equilibrium. This new approach has enabled creationists to reframe the terms of the debate about what should go on in the schoolroom. Now they make their case with a familiar logic of pluralism. Evolution and creationism are simply competing scientific theories, they say, which deserve unbiased presentation. That word theory plays a crucial role in these discussions. One Kansas legislator justified the recent Board of Education decision by pointing to the large number of people in Kansas who are disturbed by presenting evolution as more than a theory. The Alabama Department of Education requires that all biology textbooks carry a disclaimer that states that evolution is a theory, not a fact. And Tennessee and Georgia have considered similar measures. Using theory here amounts to a kind of inspired pun. In the scientific sense, of course, evolution is a theory, that is, a testable framework for explaining a range of observable facts. But to call something a scientific theory doesn't mean it's conjectural or speculative. After all, gravitation is a theory too, but nobody would say it's only a theory. It's just that scientists don't like to call anything a fact if it can't be directly observed. But in ordinary speech, we tend to use theory in a looser way, to mean just a speculation or an unproven hypothesis, the sense we have when we say that something is just a theory. That's how the term's supposed to be understood in those textbook disclaimers. It's an adroit maneuver which apes the language of scientific discourse but gives it another interpretation. Well, you people yourselves say it's only a theory. And from there, it's an easy step to portraying evolution and creation science as scientific theories that should compete on level ground. In its way, the new language of creationism is a backhand tribute to the hold that science has acquired on the public mind since the time of the Scopes trial. But things were clearer back in William Jennings Bryan's day, when the two sides weren't trying to use the same language. You wonder what Bryan would have made of the turn that creationism has taken. I don't suppose he would have minded the misreadings of science in the attacks on evolution. But he might have been troubled at seeing creationism defended in scientific language, as if revelation needed to be tricked out in a lab coat to make it presentable. The one thing we can be sure of is that William Jennings Bryan would never have stooped to describing creationism as a theory.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.